Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the DBC Show, coming to you from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my good friends from DBCResaleMarket.com, Miss Marissa Valiton.
Hello, hello.
From DBCRentalStore.com, Mr. Paul Krieger.
Hey, everybody.
From MoneraFinancial.com, Ms. Amy Krieger.
Hello.
And our producer this week from BigFatPanda.com, Mr. John Sicari.
How are you, everyone?
And just a reminder, this show is brought to you, along with all of our DBC content, brought to you by the world of DBC, which includes DBCResaleMarket.com for your resale contracts, DBCRentalStore.com to rent out your points or rent points if you want to try before you buy, and MoneraFinancial.com, the crack dealers of the DBC world that make it so easy to get financing for your next DBC resale contract. So please, if you enjoy our content, show your support, support our sponsors. All right, this week we're going to talk about the dreaded ROFR and how to avoid it. Some tips for how to avoid ROFR. Now, if you're not sure what I'm talking about, ROFR is right of first refusal. Disney Vacation Club has the right to buy back a contract before a resale contract is sold to you. And lately, they've been buying back a lot. A lot. And every month, DBCResaleMarket.com publishes their right of first refusal report telling you which ones they had bought back from the ones they've been trying to sell. And every month, it's kind of eye-opening to see it. And we see this, you know, if you head over to DBC, the DBC fan Facebook group on Facebook, we hear the stories all the time. Disney bought back my Boulder Ridge. Disney brought back my Copper Creek. Disney brought back this. They bought back that. It happens all the time, more and more. So we thought we'd talk about some ways that you might be able to avoid right of first refusal. So I'm going to open it up to the experts here. How do we avoid it?
Expert.
Well, let me tell you. So I think, and Paul has actually taken over the job of writing these blogs every single month. So they're super, super helpful. But if you go to DBCResaleMarket.com and just type in ROFR, R-O-F-R, into the search, you'll see every single blog that we've ever written. So you can see the charts and the trends. So in the past, and I would say in my 5 years working with the resale market, I like to pride myself on being able to go through and say, if you're around here, if we follow this trend and you're around here and you put in this offer, you should have a pretty decent chance of passing right of first refusal versus if you go at this price, you very likely will not pass. I will say in the last 3 months, I have no idea what Disney's doing. Right. there is no pattern. There's no rhyme or reason. So just to give you a little insight, like on a contract, Disney can take a 200-point contract. And they can divide it and resell it into 4 50-point contracts. Or, excuse me, 8 50-point contracts. Let me do math today. 8 50-point contracts. So they don't need to buy small contracts, which typically have a premium price attached to them. They don't need to buy small contracts because they can get a steal of a deal at a larger contract and then divide it up and resell them that way. Last month alone, 3 of my members who bought 25-point contracts were bought back. They bought back a Bay Lake Tower at $184 per point. Versus they let some Bay Lake Towers pass at $160 per point. So there was just literally no pattern. So I think it's time to really start strategizing and look at other ways to avoid right of first refusal versus the traditional method, which is watching the market, doing your research, because that is not necessarily going to get you past right of first refusal.
And there's people out there that read the ROFR report and stuff like that, and they go, oh, Disney must be up to something. There's something they're doing. I've looked at this thing long enough now that it's like, I don't think there's a plan. I don't think there's any real pattern or anything like that emerging because it, like Marissa said, it's just so all over the place in terms of what they buy, where they buy, how many points they buy.
It's also like, one person.
Yes.
There's really? One person in the celebration office.
I know her.
Who isn't in the office all the time, but she's the only one doing this. So it's not like this committee sits around and they go, so do you this think she algorithm.
Gets, you think she gets drunk?
She's bored this week. How could she stir the pot?
You know. She was out on vacation, and there was like a massive backup, and that's where I realized that she was the only one. She's very nice, but yeah.
But she's tipping a little bit.
Now we're all in trouble.
Oh, you know what? Today, Saratoga Spring? Yeah, I'll buy that. I don't know. I mean, because I say Saratoga Springs. Saratoga Springs is the one last month that they bought back in droves. Mm-hmm.
And the weird thing, again, though, is that normally this previously in normal times, this would correlate with what they were selling in terms of what was a good. We've talked about it before on the show. What's a good drop product? So what's a nice next tier down for a sales associate to sort of offer if someone wants to pass on the active selling resorts like Riviera or Grand Floridian? And Saratoga historically has been one of those. But when you actually look at direct sales over the course of the past month, Saratoga and Old Key West are not selling
that
great. Some of
the lowest ones. Yeah. And they're the highest ones being bought back. So they're not using it as a drop product.
Yeah.
And which is why we're so puzzled.
And originally, when I saw Old Key West being bought back, I thought a lot of it was to flip from 2042 to 2057. But
they're
buying back extended contracts that cost more in some cases. And I'm really surprised by that as well. I think right now, one of the big things is to look at the resort, because that is determining, you know, a lot of what's being bought back. There are resorts that are pretty safe bets right now that aren't going to get ROFR'd. Like anything that's actively selling, like Grand Floridian, Alani, Riviera, they don't typically buy those back.
So another one is Polynesian. And so I know there's like kind of the looming question of the new Polynesian tower and all of that. However, if you go to our economics blog, which we post every quarter, Polynesian is the best bang for your buck. And a lot of people don't realize that because they go, well, Polynesian is a monorail resort, right? It's one of Disney's premium. If you take the purchase price of Polynesian, deduct or divide out the years left on the membership, which it goes till 2066, and you add in the dues, which are right there in the middle, it's your best overall value DVC resort. Now, it has dethroned Saratoga for the last two quarters. Saratoga was the winner on that, and people still think it's Saratoga. But Polynesian has actually beat it out the last two quarters. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking to say, I want a really great DVC product, which who doesn't love Polynesian, right? Mm-hmm. Plus, I want to pass right of first refusal. That's where I would guide you right off the bat. But yes, Polynesian, Alani, Vero Beach, Riviera, Grand Floridian. Those are pretty safe bets.
And the fact that they're not buying Poly right now, if anyone wants sort of that hope that when they start selling the new Polynesian Tower, that it's going to be part of the current association, I think that's where that hope lies.
Yeah.
Is that if they're not buying it right now, that's an indication that it's probably going to be a part of the same association, but we just don't know that for certain yet. But that's that when we look at trends of what they've done in the past with some of these, you know, Grand Floridian is another one that's a perfect example of that. You know, they stopped buying back Grand Floridian when they decided that they were going to do this Villas expansion there. So, again, we're reading tea leaves and stuff right here in terms of those things, but I agree, you know, in terms of, you know, buy a resort that is not actively being ROFR'd, there's a lot of those resorts out there and still amazing deals that you can get if you're tired of battling the ROFR monster. So
let's talk about the resorts that are not being brought back at quite the same level as some other ones. Vero Beach. Mm-hmm. Hardly being bought back at all.
They bought one contract back in January.
Yeah.
In the rolling 12 months.
That was a particularly heavy drinking.
Were you the one? No, you weren't the one that got it bought back.
No. Oh, not on Vero, no.
No.
It was great, especially doing these reports. That was great because so many things on the reports have to change just because they bought that one Vero Beach contract back.
Like, Paul has to make eight new charts.
Yeah, you've got different cells and all these things. And I'm like, come on, what? You really needed that Vero Beach contract?
Followed after Vero Beach by Boulder Ridge. There were 16 bought back last month at Boulder Ridge, 28 at Copper Creek, 35 at Beach Club, 38 at Boardwalk.
Yep, and those are on the year. So that's total
on
the year.
For the year. Then we jump up to 66 for Bay Lake Tower. Those are a little bit more popular to get bought back. You're in more dangerous territory. Animal Kingdom Lodge, 95 have been bought back this year. Old Key West, 126. And then, of course, Saratoga Springs. I don't know what's going on at Saratoga.
Yeah.
242 contracts purchased back. Now, I know one of the Boulder Ridge contracts bought back was mine. Well, they tried to buy it back, and then I snatched it back and said, no, I'm not letting you buy it.
They bought it back, and you said, no, I'm buying it back from you.
Well, no, because I had a... I had a reservation attached to it I didn't realize. And so they were like, oh, we got to do something about this. I'm like, yeah, screw you. I'm taking it.
You don't get it.
And then there's the ones that are missing from the chart because they're not bought back.
Right.
They're like Grand Cal, Hilton Head, the ones that we had just talked about.
Yeah.
Those are at zero.
And Alani, Grand Floridian,
Polynesian.
And so something we highlighted in this month's report is that, you know, on the year, Disney has now bought back more contracts in the first two quarters of 2022 than they did for the entirety of last year. So it just tells you how aggressive they are being with these efforts. It doesn't look like it's going to slow down, but that shouldn't be a deterrent in terms of buyers.
Do you think that they're doing that to make up for what they didn't buy last year and that next year it's going to normalize?
Potentially, but last year was still a pretty high year. Last year, like on the whole, I think last year was still the highest year on record. They really 2020 was the year they really slowed down. 2021, they bought back more. So maybe there's some pent up budget that they have for those buybacks. But the weird thing is they're sitting on these points. So
that's where I think that they might do some sort of promotion. Whenever I've seen that before, there's this pattern of where they buy back a lot and then they don't ever resell it. And as guides working for Disney, you can see the inventory and you go, why do you have all this inventory? And you're not allowed to sell it. So that could be another reflection of why it's not showing on the report is they build up the inventory and then they'll save it for like a special promotion or discount. And then they'll say, you get this discount. Not to say that's definitely going to happen, but that could be something coming down the pipeline.
So we could see like a Saratoga direct sales promotion eventually.
Because they're inflating those prices so high, like $200+ per point now for all of those resorts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I could see them potentially adding a nice like maybe $10 or $20 per point discount.
And keep in mind that, you know, when Disney buys back these, my understanding is that when they're sitting on these points, they're the ones then responsible for all of the annual dues. So, you know, they only want that level to get so high because it's costing them money to be sitting on these points long term. So there's got to be some thought process there.
Well, you know, I picked up a bunch of Alani points in December with that crazy promotion that ended up bringing the price of those points almost down to resale level. Very close to resale level. So I wonder if they're going to start, because the promotions since then have not been that as good as that one in December was. So I wonder if, you know, December is now going to be the month for like crazy promotions.
Maybe, yeah. I think another thing to consider, obviously there's not enough of these for everybody, but if you see an international seller, Disney doesn't typically take those contracts back. I think there's a little bit extra. I don't know, Marissa, if you can speak to that. There's a little extra work.
There is. On their end. With an international seller, they have to pay what's called a FRPTA tax to the U.S. government. So it's a 15% tax. Kind of like it's the same as like if you had a house and you weren't a U.S. citizen. If you sell that house, you owe the government the tax money for that sale. So most sellers, if they're not making a huge profit, can recoup some of that tax. But they have to show that the buyer has a tax ID number or is a U.S. citizen. So with Disney, that's just one extra form where they're going to have to put like their business EIN number into, or they don't really want to bother with that because it probably then they'd have to pay their lawyers to do that. So they're like, why bother with one form that for most buyers, it's a very simple, it's part of your closing costs or your closing documents. So it's very, very simple. So it is a good key. And a lot of our agents can filter through and find those.
My first contract ever resale was a Boulder Ridge 270 point contract. That's the one they tried to buy back that I said, no, I'm keeping it. That was a FRPTA.
Yeah.
It was an international seller. And I got that for, I want to say, $85 a point.
Yeah.
That was like 3 years ago. And still, what a great deal. Mm-hmm. What a great deal. But they didn't buy it back because I was worried about that.
Yeah.
And I was assured, no, they're not buying this one back. It's FERPTA.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, and I think overall, one of the biggest takeaways here is, you know, if you're a buyer and you're beginning to get frustrated with the ROFR process, there are multiple options for you in this realm. And, you know, work with your agent, ask the questions so that you can hopefully pass this. Granted, you know, it is up in the air. It's a coin flip, it feels like these days in terms of what passes. But, you know, hopefully some of these ideas are going to help you down that path of actually getting over that hump.
Are contracts from international sellers marked specifically on the website?
They are. Mm-hmm. So we don't have a filter process to reach out to one of our agents to help you kind of filter that. They only make up about 5% of our total listings, but they'll say it. If it doesn't say anything at the bottom of the listing, then it's a U.S. seller. But if it's noted at the bottom of the listing that it's an international seller, that's where it would be noted right there at the bottom.
So that's one of the things you want to look for as you're looking for contracts. If you notice it's an international seller, that is going to have a higher chance of passing right of first refusal versus another one.
Do you feel like most buyers are just getting comfortable with this new world of ROFR that we're in now, and they're just like, okay, try again, okay, try again?
There are. So, like, I have a few who were on, I had to call them today, and we're on, like, round five, and they want Saratoga. So it's tough, right, because we keep on trying and trying. So we've worked out a couple of strategies. Some people are getting discouraged, and I think some people look at the report before they even have bought to begin with, and they look at the report, which I'm glad we're doing this show, because it's that, like, fear of like the big bad ROFR monster, I'm not going to even try. And I think another kind of strategy is going a little higher in price. So if you look, Disney does have kind of a limit where they go, and they won't go a little higher than certain prices. Mm-hmm. So those are the contracts don't be afraid of, especially if it has like banked 2021 or current 2022, even if you're not using the points, because you can take those, reach out to Paul and his team, and they can rent those points for $18 a point, right? Yep. So if you're taking that, that drops your price per point, $18 a point or $36 per point.
Yeah.
Then you're well below any sort of deal you could have gotten to begin with. You get that money back. It might take an extra step, but then you're getting past the ROFR monster in the end.
Yeah, they're only going to pay so much for a contract. And that's why Grand Cal doesn't get ROFR'd, because the price point's too high that the margin isn't there for them to make any money. But
it's like buying back used cars. They've got to be able to get a certain value.
Right, because if they're buying back at 135 and turning around and selling for 200, that's a good profit.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a good profit. But, you know, as you say, they sit on this inventory. I can't imagine how much they must be sitting on right now. And what are they going to do with that? They got to sell it. But those now become direct points.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those now become direct points.
Yep.
So, interesting. John, any questions since you're going through this process?
No, I mean, I'm doing it direct because I want to be on their, you know, the direct list. But then I'll do this process,
Okay. All right. Well, there you have it. That's some guidance for you on how to avoid the ROFR monster when buying a resale contract. We hope it helps. And good luck. But, you know, you had mentioned that, you know, you're on round five with this one client.
Right.
It doesn't, you know, it pisses people off when it gets bought back, but it doesn't discourage them. They go back. They try again. It becomes a game almost. Mm-hmm. It becomes a game. I feel bad for the people that I see that now got bought back again. I feel bad for them. But
we'll figure it out. Yeah. We'll find a contract.
You had mentioned early in the show, there's a lot of people on the DVC Fan Facebook group that sort of track their ROFRs. I also wanted to put a plug out there for disboards.com. There is a right of first refusal thread that goes quarterly where people are also tracking that, just so that you can, between that, the ROFR report, you know, talking to your sales agent, you have multiple different opportunities to sort of make sure that when you put in an offer, it is going to be the best chance possible to pass right of first refusal. So I think that's a huge one also to add to the resource bucket list.
All right. Well, there you have it. Hope that helps. And good luck. Good luck not getting bought back. That's going to do it for our show for this week. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you again next week with another episode of the DVC Show. Have a great week, folks.